We were sharing about man in the image of God, man losing that image and glory of God, and how Jesus came to restore it. But I was not through with the subject of the number six. I only touched on it. And I want to give you some more insights into this number six. And the first time we think of six, we get our mind on 666, right? And none of us like to pay a bill that says $6.66. Or we see a sign, lot 666, and we get a little suspicious. But you know, where there is a negative, there is a positive. And don't forget that. And numbers have both positive and negative meanings. I remember how many times people were afraid when it was Friday the 13th. And until today, there's a fear in the minds of people whenever it's Friday the 13th. It doesn't matter what month. And some people will not go into a hotel that has 16 stories and go to the 13th floor. They're afraid to stay on floor number 13. Now, why all this fear? Because many think 13 is an unlucky number. Well, let me surprise you a bit. How did we start out as a nation? How many colonies? And if 13 is all that bad, we should have lost the war. Amen? But thank God the 13 colonies survived. Praise God. Jesus had 12 disciples who were with him most of the time, if not all the time. But add 12 to 1, what you get? So Jesus and the 12 make up all together how many people? 13. When they were marching around Jericho 6 times for 6 days, 1 day, then 6 days, then the 7th day they were to march around Jericho 7 times. 6 and 7 give us what? And when did they shout and when did the walls crumble? After the 13th encirclement. And how about 1 Corinthians 13:13? That's 2 sets of 13s. Now abideth faith and hope and divine love. And the greatest of these is divine love. Praise God. How many need more 13s? To show you that Ishmael was circumcised at 13 and he turned out to be mocking Isaac. And he did it at age 13. And 13 links with rebellion. Yes. But 13 can be a good number. And there are many 13s in the Bible. We know the Lord received 39 stripes, which is 13 times 3. And that was the highest amount of stripes a person could receive. But he was wounded for whose transgressions, beloved? Ours. The judgment that belonged to us, he was willing to take, to release us from our sins. So, without going into all those 13s, let's realize that when we study about 6, granted there is a negative aspect of 6. And let's turn to the scripture that highlights this in Revelation 13. Revelation 13. And let's see what we can learn tonight. And then we'll give the positive. Revelation chapter 13. Verse 18. Revelation 13:18. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, or a man. And his number is what? 666. Altogether, 666. Six units, six tens, six hundreds. Altogether, you see the prominent number six. It's called the number of the beast. What did we see happening on the sixth day in Genesis 1? Man came on the scene. But before man came on the scene, who else came on the scene on the sixth day? The beasts. Well, look at society today. We're either in the image of God, or we're in the image of the beast. And by that, I don't mean what people may think, that we are like literal beasts, but our behavior is like the beast. And the book of Jude speaks of some people. Just before Revelation is Jude. Let's see what he says about some men. The book of Jude, thank you, Lord. Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men. What kind of men? You're either godly or ungodly. You're either righteous or you're wicked. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 10, but these people speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. So what does Jude call these people? Brute beasts. They're wild beasts. Not actually. That is, turn into a beast, but they have the viciousness. They have the hate. And as Paul tells us, I think, if you bite and devour one another, take heed lest you be consumed of one another. Bite and devour. What do those words bring to your mind? The wild beasts. Yes. And even the tame beasts can get wild at times. Yes. You may have a tame dog, but that dog is still a dog. I remember a story that our pastor used to give us in Guyana, South America. Some men were taking on a bet as to which was better, a trained cat or a born cat. It's a story. So one group was saying the trained cat is far better than the born cat. And the cat would come into the restaurant and bow and curtsy and serve the dishes. And he was trained to be polite. And you know, some of the other cats, they're not always behaving well. But one man decided to test the trained cat, and he got a rat and put it in the restaurant. And as soon as the trained cat saw the rat, he dropped everything and dashed after it. You see, that tells us you may try to reform a man without God, and he may behave so well. But the problem is not outward. Where is the problem? So if it's the nature of a cat to pursue a rat, it's the nature of a sinner to continue to sin.
Right.
Reformation is not the answer. Transformation is the answer. God gives you a new nature.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I don't know how I got there, but I got there. Brute beasts. Brute beasts. Another scripture says, so ignorant was I was like a beast before thee. Oh, beloved, sometimes we who should understand are like the beasts without understanding. But God didn't make us to be foolish. He made us to be wise. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, the Bible says. So here we are, after man sinned 6,000 years later, and how do we see mankind? Two groups. Man in the image of God, experiencing a change in his inner being, or man in the image of the beast, behaving contrary to what God intended. Many years ago, I read in the book of Daniel of a man who was a world ruler. And you know his name, Nebuchadnezzar. The name Nebuchadnezzar means, O Nebo, protect the crown. Nebo was the Babylonian god of education. I mentioned the other night, that's what's happening in our society. People are worshiping education. I'm not saying by that we should be illiterate. No. Education is good, but see it in its proper place. And when we make education a god, that's where we're heading for a fall.
Yes, sir.
And what's the use we're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth? I am amazed that the universities and Bible colleges and seminaries and cemeteries, and I'm not after all that are teaching good things, but where is God? Where is the gospel being declared? We have some people teaching in Bible colleges that shouldn't be there. Denying the inspiration of the Word of God. And making Jesus look like an ordinary man. The fundamentals of the scriptures, they deny. So we have wolves in sheep's clothing. A lot of imitation going on. But the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So, either man will be bestial in his behavior or will be changed by God. And we come back to Nebuchadnezzar. Is this not great Babylon I have built for my glory and my majesty? He's full of I and my. No sooner were the words out of his mouth than the judgment came on him. O Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom is taken from thee. Now, turn with me to Daniel chapter 4. We want to read something here to show you how the same truth is given in the fourth chapter of Nebuchadnezzar. I'm sorry, it's not the fourth chapter. I think it's the seventh. Let me make sure. It's been a while since I've been in that chapter. And we'll come back to chapter 4 a moment. Daniel is seeing the Gentile empires under the form of beasts. Isn't that interesting? when God is going to show Daniel about the future and about the nations, Daniel sees them as beasts. That's why we read in chapter 7, verse 2, Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. And those four great beasts represent four empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. But when Daniel describes them, instead of describing them as human beings, how does he describe them? Like beasts. Think about that. We think we're civilized. We think we know so much. But something happened to one of these beasts. Verse 4. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. How do we explain that? How can a beast receive a man's heart? When you go back to Nebuchadnezzar, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given him. Can you help me locate that if it's in chapter 4? I think it might be there. Yes. Hallelujah. By the time I said it, I saw it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. Notice what Nebuchadnezzar was saying before the judgment came on him. He was boasting about this great Babylon that he built. And can anybody help me locate that verse? It's not great. Pardon me? 15? 16, let his heart be changed from man. Given. We'll come to it. But before that, he was boasting while he was in the palace. 28th and 3rd. Let's see. Yes. Thank you, Brother Lester. The king spoke in verse 30 and said, is not this great Babylon I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty, I and my. What happens in the next verse? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. But thank God for verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. Where was he lifting up his eyes? Or where was his vision before he lifted up his eyes to heaven? Like the beasts are always looking down. Man was made to look up.
Thank you.
The very word man means facing upward. Look up. Never forget that, my friends. I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
And my understanding returned unto me. He stopped being a beast and his understanding came back. And I blessed the Most High and I praised and honored him who lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. But let's go back to the verse Sister Palm was giving us there. Verse 16. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 times pass over him. When as a young Christian, I read that story. I was puzzled. How can this be? Did this man stop being a man and did he become a beast? And then from a beast, did he become a man? Because in my little mind, I couldn't imagine a man receiving a beast's heart. And then suddenly, he's a changed man. But as you grow in the Lord, and we're all growing, none of us can claim to have arrived yet. We grow in understanding. Amen? And what this is saying, he didn't stop being a man, but he lost his sanity. And he began to behave like a beast. See? He was a man, but instead of standing straight, he began to crawl on all fours, like when your little children are growing. Before they can stand, they have to creep, right? And so that is when you're little. You can excuse that. But what I'm saying is, he was on all fours and was a king, and he couldn't think in a rational way, and he was put out of the palace, and he lived among the wild beasts for 7 years. My. But the Bible says, man without God is like the beast that perishes. So we have a lot of human beings who are like the beast, like Nebuchadnezzar. They have human bodies, but they have no concept of God. And for them, God doesn't exist. And as many are teaching now, Jesus is a myth. And Jesus isn't what the Bible says he is. So we are having bestial ideas that are creeping into our nation. And people are blinded by their God, the common God of this world, who is the devil. But thank God for the truth. And the truth will set us free. And the man that received the heart of a beast. But then the beast that received the heart of a man. What's that? Let's put it down to our modern history. The lion represents what nation today? The British. And the eagle represents what nation? And this lion had eagle's wings. You know, that is not so in the natural. Every seed brings forth after its own kind. But this is a vision. And you have to understand it. Well, what that is saying is, the United States was once part of the British people. But then the eagle's wings were plucked off from the lion. That's the birth of America as a nation. Hallelujah. Amen. It's all there and more. I don't know all yet about America and where we stand in Bible prophecy, but I'm sure we're there. I'm sure all the nations that are giving us trouble are there. All Babylon is still there.
Yes, sir.
In Iraq of today. And God will reveal that. But that's a picture of how the British ruled over a good part of the world until after the eagle's wings were plucked off, then Britain began to give her dependencies freedom. Until today, hardly a nation that was once under the British is still under them. A few may be, but the most of the nations under the British are standing on their feet. A man's heart was given him. That meant he would behave in a different way towards those who were under his rule. But that's as far as I'll take you. But here is a man that receives the heart of a beast. And what does that mean? Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. This is a very important chapter. And three times you will read, God gave them up. My, when God gives up a nation or an individual, that's a serious thing. Romans 1. He says, in verse 21, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Notice what is the first of sins among mankind. Unthankfulness, ingratitude. You know what? I was telling somebody, we were talking, whether among the Martins or whether with Brother Allen and Brother Lester, that the Mexicans have been coming into our land, many of them illegally. Not all of them. Thank God for those who are true residents and some who are naturalized citizens. But you know, our borders are being invaded all the time. And for the past several years, under the past administrations besides this one, nothing was being done with this problem. So now it is beyond solution. And there is a big debate as to what should be done to them. But you saw the demonstrations that were taking place. And what were they holding in their hands in demonstrating? The Mexican flag. If Mexico is so good, why you don't go back then?
Amen.
That's all I can say. If it's so good, go back under Mr. Vicente Fox. Go tell that fox! To whom was Jesus speaking? Herod. Well, we got a modern day fox in the man who is in charge of Mexico. You can take it or leave it. But I'm telling you the facts. He's saying one thing and doing something else. And our president thinks he's a good friend. How gullible can we become as a people? When are we going to stand up for the loss of this land? Like as I said, not too long back, there's a young man by the name of Michael New, I think, who refused to take the oath of allegiance to the United Nations. And instead of our standing with him, we're trying to make him look as if he was off base. But listen, what is the Pledge of Allegiance? We pledge allegiance to the United Nations? No. And here we are looking to the UN as if the UN has all the answers to all our problems, whereas the UN has been taking advantage of our kindness. Without the help from America, the UN can't stand on its feet. And I'm not here preaching politics, I'm simply giving you an observation as to how people, instead of being thankful, many of them having children born in this country, illegal and getting free help, medical help and all the rest, and demonstrating with a Mexican flag. That bothers me. It shows the height of ingratitude. And dear friends, God is humiliating us as a nation because we've turned away from Him. So He's causing strangers to come and devour our land. And if you're not concerned, well, it's time that you wake up and begin to pray for our land and pray for our leadership. Because it grieves me to see how, before I came to this country, we had to go through a rigid preparation. Yes. We had to have our papers in order. And when we came here, we had to report at the end of each year, fill in a form, and thank God. In 1977, we became naturalized citizens, and I counted that a great honor. Listen, I love this land, and let's thank God for this land. I love my homeland, but I prefer to be an American. You can't be a citizen of two countries, but some people want dual, if not triple, citizenship. I don't know how that can be. It's like serving God and serving the devil. Well, there's only one way you can get into God's kingdom. You got to leave the country in which you were born, in the sense that you were born in sin and shipped in iniquity. You got to turn your back on that, and then, hallelujah, you accept the Lord and you become a citizen of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Well, I might go in a different direction. I don't know. But when people came to America a few centuries ago, they claimed to be leaving the old world and coming into the new world. But they had an enemy to face, like our pilgrim fathers. And it was the Atlantic. The Atlantic. And I never paid attention to names, but even there, God is saying something. Atlantic comes from the name Atlas, the strong man. In Greek mythology, Atlas is a man that is strong and is bearing the whole world on his shoulders. We know that is just a fable, but there is a truth behind it, and that is the strong man is the devil. And when the strong man keeps his house, his goods are in vain. But when a stronger than he comes, he spoils his goods. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And who is the stronger than the strong man? The Lord Jesus Christ. And Calvary, he spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them, triumphing over them in the cross. So when you cross the Atlantic, and sometimes you might face a storm and your boat collapses. Many people have died trying to come to the States. But once they got into New York Harbor and they saw the lady with a torch in her hand, all of that has a whole gospel message, which, please forgive me, I'm not going to go into. And before they got into the country, they had to go through inspection to make sure they didn't bring any diseases in the old land. I mean, in the new land. And the Statue of Liberty was located on Bledsoe's Island. And before coming to the area where you were inspected, there was a body of water called the Narrows. The Narrows. And straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life eternal. And how many find it? Few. So, just as that was done outwardly, it's a picture of our turning our back on our past and leaving the devil's kingdom and heading for freedom. That's why the shackles are broken at the feet of the lady. Hallelujah. But guess what makes her significant? She has a tablet in her hand. Hallelujah. And what happened in August of 2004 in Alabama? Let's get rid of the commandments of God. We don't need the commandments of God. They're old-fashioned. Thank God for Judge Moore who stood up. Listen, we may say all we want, but if you are not doing things according to the law, you're lawless.
That's right.
And that's what our society is getting into. Lawlessness. And the people who are supposed to defend us, the judges, the so-called judges, they're passing wrong sentences.
Yes.
And they're allowing criminals to get off. I wonder where the sanity is among those who should know better. So if we put God out of circulation, you know what we have? The mind and heart of a beast. And we sing it right here.
Yes, sir.
That's why we sing all the murders and killings. And oh, the more you watch it, the more sick you become.
Yes.
Sometimes I can't take it anymore. I just have to turn it off.
Right.
And it's the same sad story repeated over and over again. But hallelujah, even if you have the heart of the beast, God can change you and give you the heart of a man.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. That's good news, isn't it?
Yeah.
What happened to Mr. Nebuchadnezzar?
Yeah.
He woke up one day and he realized, oh my nails are so long. My hair is so long. In the meantime, guess what he was eating for food? Please help me. He was eating grass. You know what's the number one problem here besides immigration? The pot. You know what I'm talking about? The weed. And people are feeding on grass. Come on.
Yes, sir. And it's numbing their mouth.
You see how up to date the Bible is, my friends? We only think of a Nebuchadnezzar, but God is using him as a type of man without God. Full of I and my. And, oh, look at our towers. Well, they're no more. They're gone. Look at our army. Our army is being spread out all over the world. And then our army bases are being closed. In the previous administration, it was being closed. So whose cause are we serving? And then you know what is amazing? One of these sly politicians called them the Fox. And there's Fox News Channel. Well, I hope they're more than just giving us the news. But the man who owns Fox is a man that is supporting some liberal ideas. And people don't know that. So you never know when man says one thing, he's doing something else. Crookedness. It's like the fox. There's a fable about a fox trying to bait another animal to come into his den. And when that other animal, whatever the animal was, looked at the tracks of the other animals that were there, they were in the reverse order. So that meant all that went in never came out. And he didn't take the bait of the fox. There are many foxes today besides the man named Fox in Mexico. And God is telling us he doesn't call his own fox and vipers. What does he call them? My sheep. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise God. So, coming back to what I'm saying, Nebuchadnezzar was used as an example. But before he became like that, what was he? A king ruling over a great part of the earth. That is what Adam was before he fell. Did you get that, my friends? Man was a king. Was he made to be a king? Let him have dominion over the beasts and the birds and the creeping things and the fishes. Well, Adam did have a measure of that until sin came. And it partook of the wrong tree. And that's where the problem began. But as I said to you, from a tree came sin. And from a tree came the undoing of sin.
Thank you.
That's the tree of the cross. Oh, hallelujah. There is so much about the cross and the Lord who died on the cross. It will never, ever end. Never, ever end. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory. To tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. So without keeping you till midnight, because we have to meet again in the morning and tomorrow evening, I want to bring you to some scriptures on 6 to show you both the negative and the positive. Today we're living in a society that is geared for the bestial system. With a number and a mark and a name. But whenever that day comes, we'll have to take a stand for God.
Right.
And God warns his people not to subscribe to it.
That's right.
And where is the mark located? In the forehead or the hand? Forehead are those who are the rulers, the thinkers. And the hand are the followers. The hand follows the head.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So the mark in the forehead are those political leaders that are so sly, and they're telling, well, we'll do this for your benefit, and so on and so on. And while you're being fed that propaganda, before you know it, you find yourself a slave to the system that you have to work for with the hand. But thank God the Lord knows them that are his.
Thank you.
And before that mark is put, God is right now sealing and putting a mark on his people.
Yes. Amen.
And we live here only to do one thing, to glorify God. Amen. We want to think with the mind of Christ, and we want to labor in the gospel. And our labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Amen.
So anything God is doing, the enemy is counterfeiting. That's why you see 6 in the negative, and you have to see 6 in the positive. I was thinking on this a few months ago, and God began to give me some things I have never preached on before, but because I never pursued the subject, and I was crying out to Him for some understanding, and I began to see there is this 6th hour, the 6th day, the 6 months, the 6th year, the 60th year, the 600th year, and the 6,000th year. And if you want to go on, you can still go on. 600,000 men were counted for the Exodus. There were more than 600,000 people that left Egypt. Right? But in the census, you don't read of any women and children being counted. Only the men. And the total fighting men were how many? Help me out again. 600,000. Now I'm going to give you a piece of information I never knew anything about. While I was studying around this theme, I found out the entire 5 books of Moses, known by the Jews as the Torah. It's called the law. But it includes the 5 books of Moses. Help me out with the 5 books of Moses. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And in the original Hebrew, if you add all the words in all 5 books, guess what I found out? They amount to 600,000. Boy, that staggered me for a moment. 600,000. By the way, how many books are in the Bible?
66.
Why 66? Because it's a book for man.
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. What's the 6th book in the Old Testament? First book in the Bible to be called by a man's name. Come on.
Hallelujah.
And what was the man's name?
Joshua.
The same as Yeshua or Yahashua. Or what we call that name, Jesus. It doesn't matter if you can't say Yeshua or Yahashua or Yahweh. Some people make a lot of fuss over those things. Once you say Jesus.
Amen.
And you don't know any other language but just say Jesus. I remember Brother Ward in one of his sermons mentioning when the Nazis were pursuing the Jews to kill them. They came to the home of a Christian. And the Christian hid some of these Jews. And they wanted to come into the house, but instead they knew that family and they said, "Who are in the house? We are here. Who else is there?" What would you have done, my friend? What would I have done? Because if you tell the truth, what would happen? All those people will be killed. On the other hand, if you lie, that's not a good testimony. So you're in a strait betwixt two. Right?
Right.
You know what that person in the house said? Jesus. And the minute they said Jesus, they left. And is that true or not?
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." And once, and the name of Jesus is a strong tower. The righteous runneth under it and are saved. Take that name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. And that man had to be inspired by the Spirit to say, "Jesus!" And they left without coming into the house.
Thank you.
Well, how did I get there? I don't know. So many things to say. Help me out. Where was I when I took a detour? 600,000. 600,000 words in the Hebrew make up the five books of Moses. And there were exactly 600,000 men who were numbered. God wants us to live by the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I never knew anything of that nature. You know what I find through the years? God rewards my search. I keep on seeking and searching. Some people, they don't have time for that. And they think you're stupid. Some people say, God will teach me. I don't need anybody to tell me anything. That's a wrong attitude. If the Lord gave us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, why did He give them? To help the rest of the body. And all of us are important, not only those five ministries. The hand needs a foot and the eye needs the hand and so on, as you read in 1 Corinthians. So God teaches us two ways. He teaches us privately, but He teaches us corporately when we assemble ourselves. And I'm glad for those people who led the way for me. Brother Lester and I were talking about some of the saints who have preceded us. Listen, we got to thank God for those men and women who blazed the trail for us.
Yes.
And showed us what it means to know God, love God, serve God. And I am glad I came to this country and God began to teach me things I never knew in my homeland. Though I knew some basic things, God began to enlarge my capacity. I know where I came from. I remember as a little boy, I had just a little Bible and was reading it. And I started out in Genesis. I was about 10 or 11. And I just felt led to read the Bible. When I came to Exodus with the tabernacle and the boards and all of that, I didn't know what I was reading. But I read.
Thank you.
God put a love in my heart for His Word. And I remember even until today, Billy Graham, C.M. Ward, Dale Oldham, broadcasting the gospel over the airways. And here I was sitting by the radio and writing these men for literature. And the saints over here were so willing to share without charging me a penny. I didn't have any money to send over here. But I just love to read and I love to pass out tracts. And I know what a blessing America has been to me, because there were people who were concerned about reaching souls for the Lord in other countries. We may say all we want about what is wrong in America, but let us not be blind to the good things God has allowed some of our people to do. And that's why I said the reason we haven't seen the full judgments coming on us, God is holding back His wrath through the prayers of the righteous. And I count it an honor to be an American. I sing a song. I'm so glad to be called an American. To be named with the brave and the free. I will honor our flag and our trust in God and the Statue of Liberty. But greater than that, I'm so glad to be called a Christian.
Amen.
To be named with the ransomed and whole. As the Statue liberates the citizen, so the cross liberates the soul. Oh, the cross is my statue of liberty. It was there that my soul was set free. Unashamed, I'll proclaim that Christ's rugged cross is my statue of liberty. If you don't have that song, you need to get it. That's one of the greatest songs that I have ever been privileged to sing. I've recorded it in a CD that has six patriotic songs. That is one that came out in the 80s. Because there's a spiritual meaning to the Statue of Liberty. How many pay attention to that? There's so many things in our nation's history we're blinded to. But may God open our eyes. Amen. And I tell you, God brought me here. And I'm a debtor. Paul says I'm a debtor both to the Jews and to Greeks. And I am indebted to this land. And I'm willing to go anywhere God sends me. I've never been to all 50 states, and I don't care to go to all 50 unless God wants me there. All I'm concerned about is to do His will. And if His will is only to keep me confined in a few places, that's fine. If He wants me to go all over, that's okay. But I'm not in a hurry to go anywhere unless He sends me. And I'm so glad Brother Lester and I became friends 33 years ago.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Lord.
And we've been friends all these many years. And others among you. Brother Jason was such a little boy with the curly hair. We always used to make some fun with him, you know. And so many. Some have gone on. Brother J.B., what a dear brother in the Lord. And I can't tell you of all the others. Brother Acreage, we were so glad to know him, and so many. I believe one day we're going to see all of them. And there'll be no feebleness. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah. There's a jubilee day coming when every man will return to his own people. And I thank all of you for your love, your prayers, your gifts. And may God give it back to you amply. And so I've said all of that to let you know that I marvel at the beauty of the Lord and the beauty of His Word. You can't separate the living Word from the written Word.
Right.
They go together.
Thank you, Lord.
Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I am the light of the world. Search the Scriptures. These are they that testify of me. And yet people search the Scriptures to find what? Find mistakes. But if you search the Scriptures like you really are hungry and thirsty. I told a young lady from one of the colleges in Beaumont last month, she was invited to come to our Bible study. And this was the third time she was invited. She couldn't make it the first two times. And she sat down and listened. I didn't give a heavy message. It was more about the season of the crucifixion and the resurrection. And I believe the Spirit of God was convicting her. So I began to talk with her afterwards. And she said, you know, I have a Bible. I said, well, good, you read it. But do one thing more. Just go on your knees or pray and say, God, if you're real and Jesus is what He claimed to be and the Bible is the Word of God, reveal it to me.
Sure.
She said, is it that simple? I said, yes. You know the sad thing today among our people? They got to do 101 good works to earn salvation.
Oh, yes.
And the same in many religions. Now these terrorists, they got to kill a certain amount of people before they get virgins in paradise. What kind of lunacy is that? That is the outright lies of the devil, who is the father of lies.
Right.
So they got to do something to get something. But we're all bankrupt, so what? So what? When are we going to realize that all our so-called good works are what?
Filthy rags
in His sight.
Yes.
And we don't deserve anything good, but God loves us and He wants to free us. I'm expecting something. I'm expecting God to do something in that young lady's life. Because for a woman that doesn't belong to a Christian circle and she is an outsider, most likely she's a Hindu, to come to a meeting like that, it takes a lot of courage.
Yes.
It takes a lot of courage. But praise God. God loves her, and I'm praying, and you can join me in prayer, that she will come to know the Lord. Praise God. Well, so many things can be said, dear friends. I might not get to all the things I want to say tonight. But I'm saying to you, I have a love for the Word of God. And the more I study it, the more I see how little I know it. Oh, you may think I got all the answers. No, I don't. There are many things I'm still seeking God for. But I know where I came from. And allow me to tell you this before we get back to 6. And that is, I used to wonder, Jesus writing on the ground. Why did he do that? And why did he do it 2 times? I never heard a message by anyone along that line. I came over here, I still didn't hear anything much along that line. But that was in my heart to find out. Some of us have been weighing a lot of things and pondering a lot of things, and God doesn't seem to answer, but there's a day when he will answer. So don't give up yet. He is a rewarder of them that barely seek him. How? Diligently seek him. And God has used others to bless me. Sometimes I get blessed by a tape or a book or a brother preaching a message. I'm willing to be taught. If I don't agree, we can disagree in love. You know what? We can be right but have a wrong spirit.
Sure.
I want to repeat that statement.
Have mercy, Lord. Yes.
A lot of people are trying to get all the right doctrines, but they don't have any loving spirit in them. So if we have the right teaching and have the wrong spirit and we condemn everybody and we don't see any good in anybody, that is not judging righteous judgment. Thank God for the good. Yeah. Half a loaf, I say, is better than no loaf. Come on. If you were really hungry and all you had was half of a loaf of bread, aren't you thankful?
Yes.
It's better than you going starving. So thank God for those who are simply preaching the gospel of salvation. Maybe that's all they have. But pray that God will stir them on. So I was pondering, writing. What is this that he wrote? Nowhere does the Bible tell us what Jesus wrote. So don't try to get too smart now. If it's not there, don't claim that you got a revelation what he wrote. Nobody dare presume to explain what God doesn't say in actual words. And if he gives a revelation, it will stand up to the test.
Amen.
Praise God.
Right.
Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So I began to see something. If John is showing that Jesus is more than a man, for he says when he begins his gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Then we must see that behind this man, there was something more. He was God made manifest in the flesh. That's why John says, Jesus needed no man to testify of him, for he knew what was in man. Well, if Jesus knew the heart of man, he had to be God, because the heart of man is desperately wicked above all things. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay. That's the only place I find in the Bible that Jesus was writing. Just as there's only one place where Jesus was reading. How about that? Reading, writing, arithmetic. Isn't the Bible exciting? I wish to God all of us get stirred up to study more of Jesus and what he gave his apostles to tell us. Everything must revolve around him.
Yes. Amen.
He is 6 in its fullest sense. He's the image and the glory of God. But Satan is trying to bring another 6. And if Jesus is a righteous man, the other man that he's bringing into focus is the man of sin. What is this man called? The man of sin. The word there means lawlessness. Missing the mark. But Jesus never missed the mark.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
He stayed on the course and he finished it.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Praise God. Well, can you remind me where I was? Thank you. So many thoughts come. Boy, I got to remember where I am, because as the Spirit helps me to get into another direction, I have to come back to where I was. only place where Jesus wrote, the only time Jesus read from a book was in the synagogue at Nazareth. And guess what? He closed the book at a comma and put a period. Did you get that one?
Right.
If not, go home and check it. But Jesus can do that and get off because he is the Word of God.
Amen.
I want to stir you up a little. We'll forget six for the moment, but we're still on the track. You never read of Jesus opening another book until you get to the book of Revelation. Come on.
Amen.
Who is worthy to take the book and loose the seals? And none was found in heaven, none in earth, none under the earth. But this one came and took the book from the one on the throne. And what a hallelujah time. As heaven resounded with the praises of all who were present. And he took the scroll and loosed the seal. So when he closes the book, it's closed. But when he opens it, it is open.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
And that's another story, but I'll stop there. To bring you back to the fact that Jesus was writing on the ground. I thought he was writing in the sand. But really, he was in a temple area. And it was paved with stones. And the dirt, you know, or the dust, you know, would fly around. So he was not writing on the sand, or he was not writing on any other object but a stone. There are many stones. And until you see that, you never know why he's writing. I'm going to show you, when we don't have the keys, we're just guessing. But why did he write twice? I don't know what he wrote. But he was trying to show those so-called lovers of law. They claim to love law, but they had no law of love in them. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
They're taking the law and interpret it just like our judges today.
Right.
And are scheming liars rather than lawyers.
Right.
But a payday is coming for those,
yes,
who have despised the grace of God.
Yeah.
Certainly we don't want anybody to suffer. But if man continues to harden his heart,
yeah,
he that is often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall what? Suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Forget what he wrote, but he wrote with his finger. And that's the key. When God gave the law, how did he write? And what did he write it on? A stone.
Amen.
Are you listening, my friends? But what did Moses do with the tablets when he came down the mount and saw the people worshipping the golden calf?
He broke them.
But he had to go up the second time, but he couldn't go until he first made an ark. He couldn't go up the second time until God said, make an ark of shittim wood. And when you receive the tablets, put them in it. And what is Moses telling us? Man is trying to live by do's and don'ts.
Yeah.
And the more he tries to do, he ends up not doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And no man has kept the law, for if you keep the whole law and break one, what happens? So Moses breaking the commandments by holding them in his hand, if you try to hold the law and say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, you end up breaking it.
Yes.
And you're guilty.
Yes.
But blessed be the name of the Lord God. The ark is Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And the commandments brought down by Moses the second time were put in the ark. You know why they were broken the first time? There was no container for the ark. Or rather, for the tablets. But when Jesus came, it was written, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Thy law is written where? On the table of my heart. And he said, I came not to destroy the law, but to what?
Fulfill it.
Ah. So when Jesus wrote the first time, he was simply saying, you asking me if I am going along with Moses? After all, he said, Moses said in the law, this woman should be stoned, but what do you say? He didn't have to tell him anything. All he was simply saying is, you're asking me about Moses and the law. It was I who gave it to him.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And how did I give it to him? I wrote on the tablet with my finger.
Thank you.
But did Jesus only write once or did he write twice? Please help me. Why must he do it the second time? Ah. God's seconds are greater than God's first. That's a whole message. There is no end to the seconds of God being greater than the first of God. Praise God. So by the time you begin to open the Word of God, by the time you're looking at one thing, something else is coming along. To confirm it and to enlarge.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
So what he was simply saying, I am the Jehovah of the Old Testament. I'm here in a human body, and I'm not here to disobey the law, but to fulfill it. But the woman broke the law. So what is Jesus trying to show to these people? First thing, where is the man who committed the crime? You can't commit adultery by yourself. Is that true or not? Whosoever commits adultery, both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be stoned. So because they claim to love the law, how is it that they spare the man and blame the woman? That's what's happening in society today. You know, behind all the divorces is a woman's fault. It's a man's fault. And so we go to and fro. And it's true. Sometimes both sides are guilty. Sometimes one side is guilty. God sees. He knows. But right there and then, they showed their hypocrisy because they didn't go by the law. Why blame the woman alone? Why allow the man to escape? So the first time he wrote, he did two things. Now, I didn't plan to say this tonight, but I'm going to say it and then we're going to close. And continue 6 tomorrow, Lord willing. He lifted up his head and said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. And he bowed his head a second time and began to write on the stone or stones. And beginning from the eldest to the least, they began to back off. They were convicted by their conscience. But you see, the Holy Spirit didn't get through. Because the Spirit of God not only convicts your conscience, He shows you the remedy.
Yes.
But they were too proud to admit that they were guilty. And the function of the law is not to cure us. The function of the law is to expose us. The law is rigid like Brother John, the policeman. Once you break the speed limit, you got to pay a price.
Yes, sir.
And the law was like a policeman to arrest us. But when we pleaded guilty, then grace was ready to take over.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, blessed be His holy name. So when the Lord lifted up His head the second time, where were all the accusers of the woman? All gone. And He says to the woman, woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? Help me. What did the woman say? No man. Lord.
Amen.
You can't call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit. This woman was in the midst of the people. She was being insulted. She must have been ashamed. And when she saw the behavior of Jesus and the words of Jesus, conviction stepped in. But she didn't escape. She stood up. Neither do I condemn thee. but go and sin no more. Grace doesn't just forgive you. Now that you have grace, God expects more out of you. Obedience.
Yes, sir.
Now, allow me to finish that story and we're going to dismiss. And to continue, Lord willing. Why did Jesus do two things? Bow his head and hide his face. You got to go to the cross. Where the fourth cry was, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know what Jesus was showing? He wasn't excusing the woman because she broke the law. But in bowing his head and writing with his finger, he who gave the law would now bear the penalty of the law. Do I hear an amen?
Amen. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
And in doing so, the Father would hide his face from his Son. Do I hear another amen?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Did the Father hide his face from the Son in the 3 hours of darkness? Yes. And you and I can't even begin to fathom what that means. When he was so close to the Father in eternity as well as in time. Why? Because he was becoming the sin offering and the trespass offering. God is too holy to look at sin. He who knew no sin became sin or a sin offering that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus was showing the woman by his actions, yes, you are guilty, and I'm not excusing you. And the man you had adultery with or committed adultery with is also guilty. But now he was going to take the sinner's place.
Thank you.
But thank God he lifted up his head.
Hallelujah.
I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. In Jesus lifting up his head, we see he would pay the penalty of sin. And because the Father was well pleased, death could not hold him. So, in the first writing, he was honoring the law. I came not to destroy the law, but to what? But in the second writing, he was making grace available.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Yes.
And now he wants to write the law where? In our hearts and minds.
Amen.
By his Holy Spirit. Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
Dear friends, I know there is more to the story, but I want to tell you tonight, for the glory of God, that was one of the things I had in my mind for many, many years. And I rejoice that the lawgiver is the law keeper in me, the law fulfiller in me. I don't have to fear the law. I'm not even seeking to be lawless. But what law demands, grace fulfills.
Amen.
What the law couldn't do because of the weakness of the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, met its demands.
Thank you.
That now we who are the heirs of grace will not live in the ways of sin, but go in the ways of righteousness. So today, what are we seeing, beloved? We're seeing two forces at work. We're seeing God working and we're seeing the devil working. But there is a dividing line that is coming. And we who are the Lord, let's make sure we are allowing him to keep on working in us, to change us from glory to glory. Wicked people are going to get more and more wicked.
Yes.
And in the last days, many will depart from the faith. How can you depart from it unless you are first in it? But thank God for those who will persevere. I don't claim to have arrived. I need daily grace. You need it. And together with God's help, we can reach the goal to be conformed to the image of God's Son.
Thank you. Yes.
Every day we live, may we learn to hate sin and love righteousness.
Amen.
Then God will say, this is one after mine own heart who will do my will.